श्री हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जाय, श्रीमद् भागवतम की जाय, श्री प्रभुपाद की जाय, नित्य गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि बोल। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज, हरे कृष्णा। 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 ऑल ग्लोरीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांगा, गौर हरि बोल। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5th चैप्टर 4th एंटाइटल characteristics of Rishabhdev, the supreme personality of Godhead, text number 5. So it is a prose form, so we'll just read translation and purport of this verse. King Nabi understood that his son Rishabhdev was very popular among the citizens, among the government officers and ministers. Understanding the popularity of his son, Maharaj Nabi enthroned him as the emperor of the world to give protection to the general populace in terms of Vedic religious system. To do this, he entrusted him into the hands of learned Brahmanas who would guide him in administrating the government. Then Maharaj Nabi and his wife Merudevi went to Badrikashram in the Himalaya mountains, where the king engaged himself very expertly in austerities and penances with great humiliation. In full samadhi, he worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, who is Krishna in his plenary expansion. By doing so, in course of time, Maharaj Nabi was elevated to the spiritual world known as Vaikuntha. Purport. This is a very long and beautiful purport, and very inspiring purport. Purport. When Maharaj Nabi saw that his son Rishabhdev was popular with the general populace and governmental servants, he chose to install him on the imperial throne. In addition, he wanted to entrust his son into the hands of learned Brahmanas. This means that a monarch was supposed to govern strictly according to Vedic principles under the guidance of learned Brahmanas who could advise him according to the standard Vedic scriptures like Manusmriti and similar Shastras. It is the duty of a king to rule the citizens according to Vedic principles. According to Vedic principles, society is divided into 4 categories: Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Durvarnam, Maya, Shishtam, Guna, Karma, Vibhagasha. After dividing society in this way, it is the king's duty to see that everyone executes Vedic principles according to his caste. A Brahmana must perform the duty of Brahmana without cheating the public. It is not that one attends the name of Brahmana without the qualification. It is the king's duty to see that everyone is engaged in his occupational duty according to Vedic principles. In addition, the retirement at the end of life is compulsory. Maharaj Nabi, although still a king, retired from family life and went with his wife to a place called Badrikashram in the Himalayas, where the deity Narayan is worshipped. The words Prasanna Nipunena Tapasa indicate that the king accepted all kinds of austerities very expertly and brilliantly. He did not at all mind living his comfortable life at home, although he was the emperor. Despite undergoing severe austerities and penances, he felt very pleased at Badrikashram and he did everything there expertly. In this way, being fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, Samadhi Yoga, always think of Krishna, Vasudev, Maharaj Nabi attained success at the end of his life and was promoted to the spiritual world. This is the way of Vedic life. One must stop the process of repeated birth and death and return home back to Godhead. The words tan mahimanam avap are significant in this regard. Srila Sridhar Swami says that mahima means liberation in this life. We should act in such a way in this life that after giving up this body, we will become liberated from bondage of repeated birth and death. This is called Jeevan Mukti. Srila Veera Raghava Acharya states that in the Chandogya Upanishad, there are 8 symptoms of Jeevan Mukta, a person who is already liberated even when living in this body. The first symptom of one so liberated is that he is freed from all sinful activity, apahata papa. As long as one is under the clutches of maya in the material energy, one has to engage in sinful activity. Bhagavad Gita describes such people as duskritano, which indicates that they are always engaged in sinful activity. One who is liberated in this life does not commit any sinful activity. Sinful activity involves illicit sex, meat eating, gambling and intoxication. Another symptom of a liberated person is vijara, which indicates that he is not subjected to the miseries of old age. Another symptom is vimrityu. A liberated person prepares himself in such a way that he does not take on any more material bodies which are destined to die. In other words, he does not fall down again to the repeated cycle of birth and death. Another symptom is vishoka, which indicates that he is callous to material distress and happiness. Another is vijigatsa, which indicates that he no longer desires material enjoyment. Another symptom is apipata, which means that he has no desire other than to engage in the devotional service of Krishna, his dearmost pursuable Lord. A further symptom is satyakama, which indicates that all his desires are directed to the Supreme Truth, Krishna. He does not want anything else. Another symptom is he is satya sankalpa. Whatever he desires is fulfilled by grace of Krishna. First of all, he does not desire anything for his material benefit. And secondly, if he desires anything at all, he simply desires to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That desire is fulfilled by the Lord's grace. That is called Satya Sankalpa. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out that the word Mahima means returning to a spiritual world, back home, back to Vaikuntha. Sri Sukadeva Goswami says that the word Mahima means that the devotee attains the qualities of the Supreme Person of Godhead. This is called Sadharma or same quality. Just as Krishna is never born and never dies, his devotee who returns to Godhead never die and never take birth within this material world. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Omagyana timirandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Shri Chaitanya manobhishtam sthapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam dadati svapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamsha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyatta Deshadarine. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratushe Nama. E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namaste. Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Runda Vaneshwari Rishabhanu Suti Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. Nirachala Nivasaya Nityaya Paramatmane Balbhadra Subhadra Bhyam Jagannathaya Te Nama. Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Bhevacha Padidanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Nama. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶಿವಾಸದಿ ಗೌರ್ ಭಕ್ತುರಿಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಎಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ರೀಮ್ಲಿ ಹ್ಯಾಪಿ ಟು ಬಿ ಇನ್ ಫ್ರಂಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಫ್ಟರ್ ಲಾಂಗ್ ಲಾಂಗ್ ಟೈಮ್. ಸೀಯಿಂಗ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಇನ್ ಕ್ಲಾಸ್ ಫಿಸಿಕಲಿ ಬಿಸೈಡ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆನ್ ಝೂಮ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಎಫ್ ಎಮ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಯೂಟ್ಯೂಬ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ವಾಟ್ ಎವರ್ ಅದರ್ ದಿಸ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ ಆಲ್ ಅದರ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ದೇರ್ but still personal association is something very special. So thank you very much for coming for the class today, and in this visit I came to Pune for a few days, but by Krishna's inconceivable mercy I got greatest good fortune of staying here for 6 months. So almost I went to Calcutta in 2008, and from 2008 to 2020 I have been serving. I always had desire to stay little more, but somehow I couldn't stay. But somehow by this year, by mercy of Karuna, I could stay for practically 6 months. Not only just 6 months, but within this compound only. Not even one step outside the temple premises. This is, I don't think any time in life such fortune will come again. So I've been very blessed. Now on 18th I will go back to Calcutta. Things are opening up now. So I am really feeling very blessed to stay here, because this is actually ideal community. Here we see there are so many sincere, very dedicated, committed, serious devotees, both in Brahmacharya Ashram and Grihastha Ashram. Pune Brahmacharya Ashram is one of the largest Brahmacharya Ashram in the world. In ISKCON. In spite of so many brahmacharis being donated to many temples around the world. Dayarampu calls Radheshampu as most magnanimous leader, who has given devotees to many centers around the world. To give Lakshmi is one thing, but most difficult is to give or send trained devotees. So in this way, Pune is actually very famous around the world. Like in the more materialistic circle, a person who is US written, he is very respected, isn't it? Similarly, ISKCON world, Pune trained devotee is very respected. You may not know those who are here, but because I go around, so whenever people come to know that I am from Pune, immediately their attitude becomes different. And naturally there are more expectations with, you know, that comes a bigger responsibility to properly represent and properly serve. Similarly, Pune temple is also actually having one of the biggest congregation devotees. I have so many, I heard more than 6,000, 1,600 devotees connected to Pune temple. So this is also very amazing. And most beautiful is that there is great harmony between both the ashrams, Brahmacharya ashram and Grihastha ashram. Brahmacharis have great regards for Grihasthas, Grihasthas have great respect for Brahmacharis, and both of them are very enthusiastically engaged in pushing forward Srila Prabhupada's mission. So I am feeling really blessed to be in such a beautiful place, holiest of the holy place. And I see here, because of this beautiful harmony, devotees are doing exceptionally well and exceeding expectations. We see all over the world, there is a great financial crunch. Everything is going down. But I just heard that ISKCON Pune devotees, with their cooperative efforts, they have raised more than 1 crore than last year's. So they exceeded the target by 1 crore. When in such a difficult scenario, this shows actually sincerity of devotees. Also, this shows how much congregation feels part of temple. They feel temple as their home. This commitment, these things cannot come unless people have heart here. And that is great success. To have devotees' heart at lotus feet of Radha Rundavan Chandra. Another thing I saw with my own eyes, when you know this Bhadra campaign was there, devotees were asked, different temples will ask how many Bhagavatam sets will distribute. Pune devotees told that 2000 Bhagavatam set. But exactly on Bhadra Purnima, I heard that they almost took a pledge and commitment and almost took off 2700, exceeding their original this thing. And recently I was in ICC meeting where Loknath Maharaj was giving presentation of World Holy Name Week, World Holy Name Festival. And he had talked to different leaders and different temples, and he had got commitment of 60,000 World Holy Name Festival Committee is doing a campaign, Fortunate People Campaign. Means to make new people chant at least one Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And take their video and upload on the internet, you know. So they had taken commitment of, you know, Maharaj had a target of 1 lakh videos of fortunate people who have become fortunate by chanting Hare Krishna, you know, during World Holy Name Festival. So Maharaj asked different leaders and he got commitment of 65,000 something. Then he asked Pune devotees, they said, we'll ourselves do 1 lakh, Maharaj, you know. So Maharaj was so happy, you know. He said, really, Pune is a world leader in, you know, chanting Hare Krishna and also distributing Hare Krishna, which is the Yuga Dharma. And another thing I see, that there is a great harmony in the sense, devotees are very much in line with Prabhupada's desires, GBC's desires, Guru's desires. And there is a great culture of hospitality for Vaishnavas, you know. These are actually very beautiful things. And these are very rare things. So anybody wants to be Krishna conscious, experience Krishna consciousness, this temple and this community is a very beautiful place. And personally, it had been a great joy for me to be here for long. But at the same time, I need to go back to Guru Dutt Pradesh or Prabhu Dutt Pradesh, Calcutta. So I seek blessings of all of you. So I am feeling deep separation, but carrying great spiritual experience in my heart and wonderful memories while going. So today we are here discussing on a very beautiful chapter, Qualities of Rishabhdev. So in this purport there are many, many amazing things described. So before I start with speaking few things from this verse and purport, I seek blessings of all devotees so that I can speak something for my own purification. So here we see Rishabhdev has grown up Nabi was the emperor of the entire world, as we saw. And we saw how Nabi Maharaj and Meru Devi performed tapasya and also performed sacrifice. And then, by the blessings of Lord, Lord himself became their son, Rishabhdev. And previously we saw how Rishabhdev, when Indra became envious and he stopped the rains, Rishabhdev by his own powers performed rains. In this way humbled Indra. So Rishabhdev had transcendent qualities because he was Supreme Person of Godhead himself. And being filled with all transcendent, he became very dear to all citizens. And even government officers and ministers. And seeing his exalted qualities and abilities and his nature, everybody wanted to be him to be a king. Maharaj Nabi, who had been a ruler and on whose name land was called Ajnabha Varsh. So when he saw that, he didn't become unhappy. Are people are wanting somebody else as the emperor? But he was happy. Oh, they want my son to be emperor and my son is so qualified. And Maharaj Nabi was very happy. And understanding the hearts and minds of citizens and his government officers and ministers, then he installed Rishabhdev as the emperor for entire planet Earth. And it is said he entrusted Rishabhdev in care of learned Brahmanas. Now Rishabhdev is Supreme Person of Godhead himself, still and very highly qualified. Still, Maharaj Nabi entrusted him in the hands of learned Brahmanas. Because in Vedic system, monarchs are supposed to rule not independently like a tyrant dictators, but like a, they are supposed to rule the world under the guidance of learned Brahmanas as per Vedic injunctions, even in scriptures, which are scriptures are words of God. So even God comes, he also abides by scriptures and the expert teachers of scriptures, Brahmanas. So what to speak of ordinary person? So everybody has to abide by Vedic injunction and follow within. Then there is prosperity, then there is happiness even in this material world. But if you reject Vedic injunctions, Jai Shishi Radha Rundavan Chana Bhagwan, Jai Shishi Jagannath Balasana, Shri Prabhupada. But if you reject Vedic injunctions, teaching of Shastras, teaching of God, and try to live independently and come up with your own ideas of material prosperity, then such things are not sustainable. We see modern man is working so hard, bring out good fortune, bring out prosperity. But then, one after another, calamities are coming. And we see now this big calamity, pandemic. This is a result of so-called modern advancement, which is not in line with Vedic teachings, which is bereft of God consciousness, Krishna consciousness. But we see here, Maharaj Nabi knew. He was very learned. So he knew, if people have to be happy, they have to have qualified king, and qualified king has to be trained and need to administer the rule under the direction of qualified learned Brahmanas who give guidance based on scriptures which are words of God. So Maharaj Nabi retired after doing his duty along with his wife Meru Devi. Then he left to Badrikashram. So he retired from Grahastha Ashram and entered Vanaprastha Ashram. Prabhupada writes in the book, retirement from material life is compulsory. Because material things are not goal of life. Spiritual spiritual advancement, self-realization, or going back and back to God is goal of life. So retirement from material activities at the end of life is compulsory. It's not that the last breath we keep on struggling and working hard materially. That is unfortunate. We see Maharaj Nabi, the emperor of entire world. Can you imagine how opulent, how much opulence he must be having? But after doing his duty of a king and installing his son as next emperor, he just left. He didn't carry any bank balance or any jewelry or any soldiers or ministers or anything with him. He just left with his wife. And here it is said, he performed austerities very expertly and very jubilantly. It was not that, arey, kya kar, abhi now I have to retire. Maybe it's few more years I can enjoy royal life, you know. Then I will retire. And anyway, my son himself is himself God. So what? Why to retire? I can stay at home only. But no, Vedic life means even if your son is God, still one goes to forest, retires to forest, and performs with austerities to rise above bodily conception. So in Brahmacharya Ashram, main duty is actually studies and being a menial servant. Grahastha, one may earn and do charity. In Vanaprastha Ashram, main duty is austerity, penances. So we see, king had lived a very opulent life, royal life, and next moment he left the forest to perform tapasya. Now imagine a person who has lived a royal life, opulent life, where he is always surrounded by ministers and servants, and his every order is being fulfilled, you know. To live in forest would be so difficult, isn't it? Sometimes we see brahmacharis who come from very opulent background, when they come to brahmacharya ashram, sometimes they may feel a little awkward. Facilities, this, that. But we see here, he was living in such opulent, royal opulence, and then we renounce. He was so expert in performing tapas and penances, and he was jubilantly doing it. Not any repentant or regretful, Baba re karna pad raha hai. No. He was very jubilant, it is said. So in Krishna consciousness, we have to be jubilant. Not that are karna pad raha hai, kya karu, morning program aana pad raha hai, chanting karna pad raha hai, na? No. One should be jubilant. Chaitamabu said, if you chant Hare Krishna and if you don't offend devotees, then one can go back home, back to Godhead, where one can live jubilantly forever. So this is a simple process actually. Krishna consciousness is most simple. Krishna consciousness is the topmost process, and Krishna consciousness is a simplest process. Only we have to do is two things. Chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And chanting Hare Krishna, and don't criticize devotees. So Mahaprabhu is actually very strict about it. We saw in Mahaprabhu's past time, those who were critical to devotees, how they suffered. Those who were envious of devotees, how they suffered, you know. So Mahaprabhu was Mahaprabhu didn't like that. So if you want to be jubilant in Krishna consciousness, we need to do these two things. You have to be enthusiastic in chanting Hare Krishna. You have to avoid criticism, avoid offending devotees. Other day I was asked to speak, so I was talking about this four principles to become jubilant in Krishna consciousness. Would you like to hear? So first principle is actually giving up grudging attitude and developing attitude of gratitude. In Krishna consciousness, sometimes we may have grudging attitude. When we see devotees, immediately we may feel negative, or we may feel, "Arey, why is doing like that? Why is doing that?" You know, unnecessary. Our mind is too active, and somebody tells us to do such this. Why me only? You know, and we may do, but then do it grudgingly. If you have grudging attitude, we'll be always miserable. So you have to rise above this grudging attitude by cultivating gratitude and understand, "Arey, what a great good fortune! After millions of lifetimes, I have got this good fortune." I've been wandering cycle of birth and death. And by somehow, by some good fortune, I met Vaishnavas and spiritual master. And now I have got good fortune of practicing Krishna consciousness. So we should feel grateful for our station. We should feel grateful if somebody engages in some service, gets some opportunity for service. So one has to cultivate this attitude of gratitude and give up this grudging attitude. By grudging, it's not going to do any good for us. And grudging, even a fool can grudge. There is nothing great about it. But to develop gratitude is actually a sign of, you know, sincere devotee. Similarly, we have to give up reactive behavior and develop proactive behavior. Sometimes people just behave reactively. They may fight, quarrel, shout, yell, or, you know, speak ill. And if you ask, why are you doing? Prabhu, because he's behaving like this to me. Because he did like this to me. Therefore, I am, you know. Just because somebody spoke something, somebody did something, doesn't mean that we have to react. If somebody spoke the wrong thing, somebody did wrong thing, not that we have to react in a wrong way. So then, you know, eat kapat, eat ka jawab, patthar se. And then you give jawab with patthar, and then other person takes bullet and that, no? What is that? Pistol. Then you may take a machine gun, you know. But then that is not the actual way to become jubilant and happy in Krishna consciousness. That is the way to destroy each other and become more miserable. Rather, whenever anything happens, if a person is behaving in wrong way, speaking wrong, when it is getting, it is affecting us, we take responsibility for our lives. If we are developing negativity to somebody else, and so whose problem is that? We are getting irritant, we are getting disturbed. Whose problem is that? Our problem, not other person. We are getting irritant, we are getting disturbed, we are feeling negativity towards managers, towards other devotees, towards whatever. So whose problem is that? It's our problem. So who have to solve it? Who has to solve it? We have to solve it. We solve that our problem by rising our consciousness, uplifting our consciousness. We can be happy. If you keep on giving reasons why I am having negativity, why I am, you know, miserable, why I, you know, then we will continue to be miserable. One has to be proactive. One should understand. One should understand that problems which I have, negativities which I have, that is my problem. I need to, you know, remove that negativities by practice of Krishna consciousness. I need to purify my heart. So it is said, look within and work without. And look without and work within. Look within and see what is the greatest good fortune in life. Look within, find out what is the greatest, most beneficial thing we can do for ourselves and world. Look within and find out what is the greatest wealth, greatest treasure, greatest thing to do in life. And one will find that greatest good we can do is practice Krishna consciousness. So look within and work without. So externally we should practice Krishna consciousness enthusiastically. And look without and work within. And when we are enthusiastically practicing Krishna consciousness, when we see problems outside, look without. So this problem, that problem, that is disturbing us, and set work within. So we have to remove the problem which is there within our heart. Because what is there within us disturbs us. What is not there within us cannot disturb us. This world is just a mirror to show us what problems we need to work on. So look within, work without. Look without and work within. So if you see big problem, that means there is some problem in heart. Rectify that and then you will see, oh, that is wonderful. In Krishna consciousness, wonderful. So one should focus on area of influence. Then there may be so many things which are beyond our control, and some things you may see it's wrong and we may not be able to do much for it. So leave that on Krishna. Focus on area of influence and leave the concerns in area of concern on Krishna. Only thing we can do in our life is actually make us better devotee and better servant. And that is actually key to become jubilant in Krishna. If we try to change people, trends, situation, we will become miserable ourselves and we will make others also miserable. So once you try to absorb oneself in devotional service and depend on Krishna. So give up being reactive and be proactive. This is way of, you know, being reactive, listening, becoming proactive, proactively, enthusiastically absorbing devotional service and depending on Krishna going on. Third thing is that we have to give up victim consciousness and we have to cultivate victor consciousness. Sometimes people keep on grudging, oh, he did like this, and oh, that person did like that, and therefore I am helpless, I am miserable, I was exploited, I was cheated, I was the, and people keep on, they are always in that victim consciousness. I was victimized, I did so much good, I did so much, but I was, you know, mistreated. And because of this victim, they are miserable. And anybody associated with them also become miserable. And one cannot progress in Krishna consciousness. So sincere devotee gives up this victim consciousness. And he understands that this world is not going by arrangement of some materialistic people. Or not that ultimately this world is supremely governed by Krishna. Krishna is supreme controller. And everybody is actually puppets and servants of Krishna also. Sometimes we may feel victimized by some person, but actually that person is also a puppet in hand of Krishna only. Unless Krishna sanctions, Krishna allows, we can't be victimized. So the fact that Krishna is allowing something to happen in our life, we should know Krishna must have a beautiful plan. Maybe we are not able to understand his plan. So one should maybe take time to think deeply, what is Krishna trying to teach me? What is the lesson I can learn in this situation? How I can improve in this situation? And if you are not able to understand ourselves, we can approach senior devotees, experienced devotees, learn from them. But one has to rise above this victim consciousness and come develop a victor consciousness. Victor consciousness means thinking, oh, what is Krishna trying to teach me? And learning that, applying that and growing in life. So that is third principle to become jubilant. Giving up victim consciousness and developing victor consciousness. And fourth principle is, do not take poison in and distribute poison. Take nectar in and distribute nectar. Whatever you put in, when you are squeezed, that will come out. Like in toothpaste. In toothpaste, if you squeeze toothpaste, what comes out? Toothpaste. Mango, ripe mango, if you squeeze, what comes out? Mango juice comes out. What is there within comes out. So in difficult times, sometimes we are squeezed, what comes out? If there is poison in heart, poison will come. But if there is nectar, nectar will come. Tatteinu kampam sushishmikshimam. So when great devotees are squeezed, immediately they hold their hands and gratefully thank Krishna. Thank you Krishna, wonderful, great. Because their heart is filled with nectar, so nectar comes out. Whereas a person whose heart is filled with poison, when they are squeezed, immediately anger comes out and grudge comes out and hatred comes out. So many negativities come out. That means a lot of poison within. So okay, when we are squeezed, some poison comes out, no problem. But at least we can acknowledge there is poison within. And we can counteract by putting nectar in. So, greatest nectar is actually nectar of Krishna Katha. And greatest poison is this poison of Prajalpa. So, we should be very careful of hearing Prajalpa and speaking Prajalpa. That is what destroys devotional service. And we should hear Krishna Katha and speak Krishna Katha. That is actually nectar. That will give us life. That will give us joy. That will make us jubilant in Krishna consciousness. So these are four principles to become jubilant in Krishna. First is, give up grudging attitude and cultivate attitude of gratitude. Grateful heart is a happy heart. Anytime we are grateful, we will be happy. And we can be jubilant. Second principle is, give up being reactive and be proactive. Don't say I did like this wrong because he did wrong. But we need to follow Krishna consciousness. We need to follow Guru Sadhu Shastras. We need to take responsibility for our miseries in life, for our problems in life, our speech, our behavior, and we need to become better ourselves. Look within and work without. Look without and work within. If you see some problem without, just look within and rectify that problem and you'll see life will become better. So we should absorb ourselves in Krishna consciousness and depend on Krishna. So this second, give up being reactive and be proactive. Focus on the area of influence. Only influence we have is on ourselves to become better devotee. We can't make other people and other situation better, but so focus on the area of influence, become better devotee and leave other devotees and other situation on Krishna. Krishna will take it. So third thing is, give up victim consciousness and develop victor consciousness. Don't think that I am being exploited, I am being, you know, cheated, I am being used, I am being abused, whatever, you know. This is actually tamaguni consciousness. But one is Krishna can understand, oh, this world is governed by Krishna. Everything happens by arrangement of Krishna. And Krishna is this, arrange everything to teach me. So what is Krishna trying to teach me? Let me learn, let me apply, let me grow in Krishna consciousness. Then we say, oh, every situation is a beautiful situation to advance in Krishna. So this is third thing. Give up victim consciousness, develop victor consciousness. What is fourth thing? We are miserable and we are being miserable others. Why? Because we are always taking poison and we are vomiting. So you have to stop that. So you have to take nectar in and nectar out. Hear Krishna Katha, speak Krishna Katha. Hear glories of devotees, speak glories of devotees. In this way, we can see that we can become jubilant in Krishna consciousness. And if you don't follow this, you will be miserable in Krishna consciousness. And if you are miserable in Krishna, we can't. It is not a sustainable thing. If you are jubilant, we are happy, we can go on enthusiastically, happily. Like here we see Maharaj Nabi, he was jubilant performing tapasya. So our tapasya is chant Hare Krishna and not criticize. Then we can be. And further purport, Prabhupada says that, no, by practice of this life, by practice of this tapasya, by taking up so much penance as austerities, what was the result of that? Nabi Maharaj became Jivan Mukta. And then, at the end of life, he was promoted to Vaikuntha, Kingdom of God. So he was jubilant, even performing tapasya, and then he went back home, back to God to become jubilant. And this is actually ideal life. That is actually the blessing of Vedic life. That is blessing of Krishna consciousness. Even in old age, one can be jubilant. Actually, when I was in college, first time I met devotees, it was so amazing. And then I started coming regularly to temple. Then I met so many, especially sannyasis and senior devotees. Jayadrat Maharaj, Bhakti Vikas Maharaj, Gopal Krishna Maharaj, Ratnath Maharaj, Giriraj Maharaj, you know. Sridhar Maharaj, so many Maharajas used to come to Pune temple. So Saturday Sunday used to be very vibrant. Then I was thinking, you know, about my future. I was thinking, just see, I have met so many old people, but most of the old people are always grudging and miserable. But here you see these old people are there, but they are so blissful. They are so jubilant. And I was just wanting, because anyway, youth is going to finish. One day we are going to become old. So, how I would like to be after, you know, 50 years from now, you know. I would like to be like materialist people who are just grudging and complaining, criticizing and miserable. Or like these devotees who are so blissful. I was so amazed sometimes, like Chandramouli Maharaj and all this, you dance so enthusiastic sometimes, young people also get tired. Yeah, I am not able to dance so much, but this 70 year old devotees are dancing so jubilantly. I was just amazed how they are able to dance so enthusiastic in old age, you know, how they are so jubilant. Why are they people? Because they have done austerity, penance of practicing Krishna consciousness, especially of chanting Hare Krishna and never criticizing. Therefore, in old age also they are jubilant. And just by being jubilant, one becomes Jivan Mukta, liberated, even within this body. Like we see, Prabhupada was an old man, but he was very blissful. You won't find Prabhupada picture very miserable, and Prabhupada is always blissful, very happy, satisfied, always absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So if you want to choose career, you can just see, if I follow materialist path, what will be destination? If I follow Krishna path, what will be destination? How I would like to see myself after 50 years? I don't want to see myself irritated and miserable and like this materialistic old people. I want to be like them. That really inspired me to take Krishna nicely. And we see, more we practice Krishna nicely, more actually life becomes so joyful. Krishna is a simple, profound and very practical and guaranteed process. So here Prabhupada tells 8 symptoms of Jivan Mukta. Who is a Jivan Mukta? So first is Apahata Papa. Jivan Mukta has 8 characters. Krishna has great science. Anything is said, always it is, you can see characteristics and symptoms. Like, okay, who is a God? God has symptoms. Not that anybody can claim themselves God. Similarly, okay, who is Jivan Mukta? Here, Virarago Acharya is quoting 8 symptoms of a Jivan Mukta from Chaddogne Upanishad. So everything is from scripture. Our scriptures are very scientific. And Prabhupada is so expert, he has taken everything and presented. Just by reading Prabhupada books, one can be so learned and can know everything. And one will not get cheated by cheap things. So if you perform penances, austerities, practice nicely, honestly, sincerely, one will be Jivan Mukta. And what are characteristics of Jivan Mukta? First characteristic is Apahata Papa. Apahata Papa means he is freed from all sinful activities. Especially sinful activities very common in this world are meat eating, gambling, illicit sex and intoxication. So we see, devotees are freed from all these sinful activities to follow pure life. Second characteristic of a Jivan Mukta is Vijara. He is not subjected to the miseries of old age. Devotee may be old, his body may be old, but he is not miserable. Like you see, most of the devotees, proper disciples, actually their bodies are 65, 70 plus. Bodies, natural material laws act. Body create a lot of disturbance, but they are very blissful. Like Harisharipu was telling, proper life from 65 to 77, his body was always in trouble. Body was always giving trouble. But still, that didn't deter Prabhupada. Prabhupada was always enthusiastic and blissful and always preaching and expanding movement. So, you see, devotees are not subject to the miseries of old age. The body may become old, but they are not miserable. Then, third is Vimrutya. Vimrutya means he does not take on any more material bodies which are destined to die. He does not fall down again to repeated birth and death. One conquers death. So he is liberated. There is no birth, old age, death. This is again for his last life. Because this material body one gets because of material desires which are there stored in subtle body, mind, intelligence, force. But when subtle body itself becomes completely spiritualized, mind becomes completely spiritualized, then one gets next body, spiritual body, no more material body. No more material body means no more death. When devotee leaves this body, he goes back home, back to Godhead. So he conquers over death. Like we see in Srimad Bhagavatam, Dhruva Maharaj stepped on death and climbed the Vaikuntha Airlines and went back home back to bed. So this is the Vimukti. Then fourth characteristic of Jivan Mukta is Vishoka. Vishoka means he is careless to material distress and happiness. He is not affected by happiness and distress. Other day, this Venu Madhav Prabhu, Vivek Bindra Prabhu was sharing that one time he was driving car with Gopal Krishna Maharaj, and then he was, petrol was very less, so he was concerned about saving petrol. So he was sometimes on, making AC on, sometimes off, you know. Then he saw Maharaj and asked Maharaj, what do you think about this AC? Do you want AC or not or what, you know? Maharaj said, for me, happiness, distress, heat, cold, AC, non-AC, man, apman, you know, doesn't make any difference. They have so much dedicated life in service of Prabhupada and Krishna. They have gone through so much, these things don't affect them. They are least bothered about these things. Callous, indifferent to these things. So sometimes, for us, this some honor, some dishonor may affect us very much. Some material dualities, you know, some happiness, some distress can very much affect. But the Jivan Muktas, they are not affected by that. So, fifth characteristics are Vijigatsa. She no longer desires material enjoyment. So, we see conditioned soul comes here in this material world and is bound in cycle of birth and because of his material desires. 8.4 million different types of bodies are created because of so many million types of desires. But when one practices Krishna consciousness and becomes Jivan Mukta, he may have this body, material body, externally, but it's completely spiritualized. And he has no more any desire for enjoyment. No lust, no greed, no material desire at all. Sixth is Apipata. He has no desire other than to engage in devotional service to Krishna. So he has no material desires. He has no desire to enjoy material life. He has no desire to enjoy spiritual life also. He has no personal desires other than to serve Krishna. He doesn't even want ecstasy and all these things, you know. Even spiritual enjoyment. He just wants to serve Krishna. Then seventh characteristic of Satyakam. All his desires are directed to Supreme Truth Krishna. He does not want anything else. Now you see, all three, Vijigatsa, Apipata, Satyakam, appear same, but actually they are same. Apipata, Vijigatsa means no matter. Then Apipata means no desire other than service to Krishna. No desire to Krishna. Satyakam means all his desires just focus on Krishna only. So, it's like saying, always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. Always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. So first, Apipata is like, never forget Krishna. Like, always remember Krishna. So, and then eighth is Satya Sankalpa. Whatever he desires, is fulfilled by the grace of Krishna. We see Prabhupada decided to have worldwide movement. He wanted to start 108 temples. He wanted thousands of devotees chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. He wanted everybody to take up Krishna consciousness, black, white, yellow, brown, men, women, children, Indian, American, European, African, whatever, Chinese, Japanese, Russians, Hindus, Christian, Muslims, Sikh, Isais, irrespective of caste, color, creed. Prabhupada wanted everybody to take Krishna consciousness. That was his desire. He had no money, he had no health, he had no followers, he had nothing, but he had desire to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. And his desire was fulfilled. So, Jivan Mukta, his characteristic is Satya Sankalpa. Whatever he desires, get fulfilled. Prabhupada desired, let there be temple. In zoo, and those sort of things, but manifested. Prabhupada desired, let there be headquarters in Mayapur, and let there be temple of Vedic planter. You see, that was a just rice field, but transformed into international headquarters. And we see now, temple of Vedic planter, such a beautiful temple is rising. So, we see, whatever Jivanmukta, pure devotee, desires, this is fulfilled by grace of Krishna. So first of all, he does not desire anything for his material benefit. And secondly, he desires, if at all he desires anything, he simply desires to serve Supreme Lord. And that desire is fulfilled by Lord's grace. So he has no material desires, no personal desires. His only desire to serve Krishna, and Krishna fulfills that. So he is called Sakti Sankalpa. So Srila Sukadeva Goswami says that the world, Mahima, means that the devotee attains the qualities of Supreme Person Godhead. Whomever you serve, whomever you meditate on, that person qualities you get. So if you serve Supreme Lord, meditate on Supreme Lord, his qualities one gets. So this is called as Sadharma, same quality. Just as Krishna is never born and never dies, his devotees who return to Godhead never die and never take birth within the material world. Krishna is eternal, his devotee also becomes eternal. Okay. So this Krishna consciousness process is actually glorious. And austerities and penances and Krishna consciousness all also glorious. It's a small price to pay compared to what results we are going to get. Can you imagine? These 8 benefits. Freedom from sin, freedom from miseries of old age, freedom from death, freedom from, you know, all unfortunate things, and becoming Satya Sankal, whatever you desire, all desires get fulfilled. So, it's amazing. So, maybe little austerity, little pain may be there, but gain is too much. So, insignificant pain and unlimited gain. Material life means insignificant gain and unlimited pain. But spiritual life, okay. If you compare the benefit, pain is very less. When one understands this, then one can be very jubilant. Jai. Small price to pay, you know. And for small time, just few years, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years, and then eternal life, can you imagine? The small price, insignificant price. So therefore, understanding this, one becomes jubilant in Krishna consciousness. And also in associational devotees, devotees always keep on celebrating festivals which also make life jubilant. Like we recently had a Bhadra Purnima festival, now then we had a Prabhupada book reading festival. And now new festival is coming. What is the festival coming? World Holy Name Festival is coming, you know. From 17th of September, 23rd September, no? So we see, devotees, if just remain in our station, we have to just be ready to be drowned in a nectarian ocean of bliss. So now, especially this Holy Name Festival, so this Lokanath Maharaj has year after year developed it. Earlier it was a Holy Name Day, then it became week, now it has become big festival, now it has become very famous. So, it's a wonderful opportunity to become ourselves fortunate and make whole world fortunate. We see, they have very nicely designed, there are every day 17 to 23rd grade, if you are little alert and in, you can see, there are japa retreats by many senior exalted maharajas, sannyasis, Prabhupada disciples, and then classes on holy name in Bhagavatam, Kirtan Mela, then glories of holy name. So one can just get drowned in nectar of ocean of holy names, especially those, especially all of ISKCON followers, Prabhupada followers, Chedma followers, because we are in Sankirtan movement. So this is a very important festival for us. 2020 has been materially kind of unfortunate year, but spiritually it is very fortunate, because this year also comes Purushottam Mass. Purushottam Mass is an extra month. Generally in calendar there is calendar based on sun and based on moon, and moon takes moon calendar has 354 days in a year approximately. Sun calendar has 365 days approximately in a year. And then there is 11 days plus minus difference in both the calendars. You know? So to adjust that, once in 32 months or so, one extra month is created. So then that both is there. That extra month actually doesn't have any muhurta for any pious activities. So you won't find marriage muhurta in any material muhurta is not there. You can't have any material activity in that because it doesn't produce any result. Therefore, it is called mal mass. But actually, it is spiritually very potent because any spiritual activity you do, you get thousands of times much more. So from spiritual point of view, which is actually real point of view, this Purushottam month is considered best month. It's extra month. You can compensate for whatever little lacks in Krishna consciousness there in that month by practicing Krishna enthusiastically. It is said it is even more powerful than Kartik month. Generally, every year Kartik comes. And Kartik, anybody does devotional vrata, one gets 1000 time benefits. And Purushottam month approximately comes once in 32 months, means approximately once in 3 years, 2.5 years, 3 years. That is even considered more powerful. And in 2020 that is coming. And that is just starting after 2 days, 18th of September to, 16th of October is Purushottam. Anyway, Prabhupada didn't too much emphasize on Purushottam Mass because Prabhupada gave lifestyle to devotees which is like everyday Purushottam Mass only, He is wanted devotees to practice Krishna consciousness so seriously that everyday is like Purushottam Mass, No material plan making, only spiritual plan making. But sometimes it becomes difficult for most of the people to continue and practice Krishna consciousness with that seriousness every day. Every week, every month, month after month, year after year. Or especially for new people to take up Krishna consciousness. So these things are very good occasions. So, these are like excuses, incentives to get many new people also. Because it's very quick and very facilitates. So this is extra month meant for extra spiritual practice because no material activities will yield auspicious fruits in this. In other months, there are muhurtas where you can get auspicious fruit. But here, there is not a single muhurta. So, only activity you can do is spiritual activity. So, one can make a lot of spiritual plans. We see this pandemic is there because of a lot of sinful activities and a lot of misfortune. But if we can make people fortunate, we can become ourselves fortunate, make people fortunate, then actually, such pandemics and all this will not come. It is said that if we can make even 1% population Krishna conscious, all this misfortune will be deflected. So, you see in Pune, what is the population of Pune? Almost 70-80 lakh people, So, 1% population means 80,000. If we can make 80,000 devotees, enthusiastic, practicing Krishna consciousness, following all regulatory principles, then such pandemics will not come. Even if it come, it may affect the world, but not the place where devotees are, in these things. So this fortunate people campaign, Pune devotees have taken target of 1 lakh. Make fortunate, in the sense, at least introduce them to Krishna consciousness. But if you can make them later on devotees also, that would be really great. So, now we have 6,000 congregation. If our congregation becomes 80,000, Pune will become the first Krishna conscious city in the world, So, will that not be a good idea to make Krishna conscious city, first Krishna conscious city in the world? So, then truly Pune will get his name back. Pune, the Punya Nagari. So it's opportunity to become fortunate and make others fortunate. And especially in this Purushottam Mass, I'll just end in 2 minutes. Because it's Adhik Mass, I'm taking Adhik time to tell a little bit about it. So it's a very rare good fortune, so we should take advantage of it. I remember one time after Kartik Yatra, I had gone to Punjab Bagh temple in Delhi. Delhi, Punjab. Next morning, I was asked to sing Mangalarti. So I went for Mangalarti and then I saw temple was jam-packed. I was shocked. How is that whole temple jam-packed? Early morning, 4:30, there was no space. There are few brahmacharis, but whole temple hall was full packed, courtyard was packed, you know. I was stunned. And so much energy, so much enthusiasm, devotees. Then after morning program, I asked, what's the matter, you know? How so many devotees? Whole morning program. They said, Prabhuji, this is Kartik month. In Kartik month, we have a culture here that every congregation comes to morning program. Because whole year they are not able to come. Ideally, Prabhupada said, every year we should attend morning program, fully enthusiastic. But now life is so busy. Every day, every year, not every month, not able to come. At least 1 month in a year. Devotees are very fired up. Therefore, 4:30 there is so much traffic jam in Punjab. So much energy. They do Mangalarti, Narsingharti, Japa, Bhagavatam class, everything. Gopal Krishna Maharaj says, full morning program means Mangalarti, Narsingharti, Tulsiharti, Guru Puja, Japa, Bhagavatam. Mangalarti, Narsingharti, Tulsiharti means 30%. And then Japa 40%. Guru Puja 10%, Bhagavatam 20%, total 100%. So, attending 100% morning program, actually one can become very powerful spiritually. So, sometimes even brahmacharis being brahmacharis, sometimes we are not able to attend everything. We go for toilet, hearing, doing that. And we miss some part of the morning program. But this is very nice month to again cover up and become more serious. So this month is 29 days, so we can make sankalpa for next 29 days, I will not miss any part of morning program. I will get up early and attend the whole morning program. And anyway, there is no much use making material plans, no? This month nothing is going to yield fruit, you know. You may end up in loss only. Better make spiritual plan for next 29 days, I will attend morning program very enthusiastically. And if possible, evening program. If not possible, at least morning program. Prabhupada gave sandwich. Morning program, evening program, daytime, you do services. But at least morning program. And at least we start with Purushottam month, once in 3 years. 29 days, sankalpa that, attending whole morning program nicely. We can get a glimpse of it. When we get test, then we will think, oh, why in once in 3 years I should do? Every maybe year, at least 1 month I should do. Then one can start doing Kartik Vrata. Every Kartik attending whole morning program. After that one may think, aray, so blissful. Let me do 4 times a year, you know, Chaturmas, you know. Let me 4 months in a year, just attend whole entire morning program. Then one may think, oh, so blissful. Let me do 8 months, you know. And then one may think, let me do every month, you know. So that's how gradually we can enhance our quality of Krishna consciousness. And then finally, if we start doing every day, every month, every year, the natural result is that we will become Jivan Mukta. And we will become joyful, blissful, jubilantly perform. So, it's not that in one day we can be jubilant. We have to, you know, gradually practice. So, this month, Chaturmas, is a very beautiful opportunity that we can take some spiritual sankalpa. We have many, many desires to improve ourselves in spiritual life. So, at least one should take some sankalpa that in this month, 29 days, okay, I will improve my Krishna in this way. And because universal atmosphere is more favorable. So, thank you very much. So, here we see today that Nambi Maharaj was very happy to see Rishabhdev being loved by citizens, and he installed him as a king and he put him under care of Brahmanas, and he left Badrikashram along with his wife and perform very expertly and jubilantly tapasya, austerities, and purified his existence and went back home, back to Godhead. Prabhupada says how we saw how we can be also so jubilant in Krishna consciousness, especially by chanting Hare Krishna, not criticizing others. And we saw the four principles of being jubilant in Krishna consciousness. And later on Prabhupada describe in purport 8 characteristics, 8 symptoms of Jivanmukta. And okay, we may not be Jivanmukta, but we can take one step towards being Jivanmukta by taking some sankalpa to make ourselves fortunate, to make others fortunate, by taking some sankalpa to practicing maybe some aspect of Krishna nicely, especially in this upcoming month. Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nitai Go Premanande, Hare Hare. I think your question is one asked in chat. If goal of life is to go back home, back to Godhead, then why Maharaj Nabi was performing austerities? What was his goal of life? Imagine Maharaj, austerity means that which is favorable for develop, achieving goal of life, achieving love for Krishna. So, actually in normal life, we live in life of comforts. So there is chance that we can be caught up by bodily conception of life. Like here, Maharaj Nabi, you are living in royal opulence. So naturally there is a chance that one could be addicted to bodily platform and, you know, be consumed by bodily consciousness that I am the king, I am the ruler, master, all these things. So to become free from that, one needs to detach oneself from this and perform austerities. So in Vedic life, in retired life, one is supposed to do austerities. Purpose is that we rise above the bodily concept of life and become fixed up in Krishna consciousness. So when we give body whatever it always want, like, you know, it's cold winter, immediately we take hot water bath. It's cold winter, then we immediately take warm clothes. When we give whatever body wants, then more bodily consciousness increases. But then we tolerate bodily inconveniences and continue Krishna consciousness, then there is possibility that we can rise above this bodily consciousness and realize I am not this body, I am spirit soul. Body, we have inconvenience, but still one tolerates institutions which one continues his loving devotional service to Krishna. So therefore, generally austerities are mentioned. So Maharaj Nabi was actually pure devotee because he was having his son as Krishna, Supreme Lord. At same time, this person has also set example for general people because yad yad acharyati shrestas tat tat eva taro jana. Whatever great person does, common people follow. So here Maharaj Nabi is setting example how everybody should retire. Retirement from material activities is compulsory and taking to spiritual life is compulsory. It's not that spiritual life is optional. If you keep spiritual life optional, suffering will be compulsory. So better take voluntary suffering. That is penance austerity. Voluntary suffering to practice Krishna consciousness. Sometimes Krishna consciousness activities like chanting or meditating on Lord or all these things, no? That may appear like a poison in the beginning, but that will lead to nectar in the end. So Maharaj Nabi had no other desires. He was Jivan Mukta. As we saw, Prabhupada mentioned 8 characteristics of Jivan Mukta. Jivan Mukta has no other desire. His only desire is to serve Lord, please Lord. And he has no desire to enjoy in this world. And neither he has desire to enjoy in spiritual world also. His desire is only to serve Lord and please Lord. And whatever he desires, thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.